right?
This is shear 6. Even though it said on the paper shear 5, but this is shear 6. We're going to anyways finish up shear 5. We talked about last week we were talking about washing up in a sink, washing up dishes in a sink. So I'll just take it from where we left off. And again, there's no only problems if the water is Yad Soledet Bo, which is 110 Fahrenheit minimum, or 43 degrees Celsius minimum. Okay? Obviously, it has to be Kli Rishon. So usually in washing up, there's not a Kli Rishon. It's a sink. You're putting everything in a sink. So a sink is Kli Sheni. Then you have there's Irui. It has to be that the faucet, when it's coming out of the faucet, it's gonna have to directly hit the kalim. There's only problems. In other words, if it hits the kalim and it bounces off into the sink, now you already turned everything into a Kli Sheni. So it has to hit the kalim, have to be touching or pretty close to each other for there to be a problem when you're washing up. Yes. The problems in a sink, if you have one sink, or if you have a kli, let's say a spoon in the wrong sink, the only time that that's going to be a problem is if the water coming out of the tap is hot and it hits the meat and the milk kli, let's say a fork and a spoon, fork of meat and a milk spoon at the same time, or close to it without hitting the bottom, without going down to the sink level. And by the way, of course, that the fork and the spoon have to be used in the Kli Rishon. If the fork was just used to eat with, that's a Kli Sheni. You're not going to have any trouble with it. The same thing your spoon. It's going to be very hard, very, very, very hard to trape up your kalim in a sink in the kitchen. If it happens, I mean, you got to work at it. So many things have to go right, so to speak, to get it trafed up. So, and usually a kalim is Eino Ben Yoma. That's one of the things. They have to be. Another problem could be if they're dirty, they're not completely washed off, but then you're going to have 60 against it. We're going to be talking more about that. Soap already knocks it out. One after the other is not a problem. Okay, soap knocks out the problem because it's nosin tam lefgam. It's a bad taste. It kills any of the taste there. It knocks it out. And you might have a sponge that has some stuff in it. But then again, your sponge is going to be a bad taste because you used it with soap. So you have a number of ways to get out of the problem. One of the famous questions that come up that we were just wrapping up last week, one of the famous questions comes up, what happens if I find my milk spoon in my meat drawer? What's the din? I find my milk spoon in my meat drawer. You know how many people take it and put it away? The answer is no. You just, all you do is put it in the milk drawer. Now, you don't, it's called Ein Machzikin Isura. Ein Machzikin Isura, we don't assume the worst. We don't assume the worst. Okay, a chazaka is like an assumption, it's a status quo, so we don't assume the worst. We don't assume that it's bad. We assume that things went good and it somehow got mixed up. Okay? And... Yeah, sometimes the kids, sometimes you. You. I'm sure it's you. You probably came into my house and messed it up too. Okay? And it's all right, Mordechai. We'll... Okay, and now let's get to a little bit of a more complicated din. Now that the video is on, now we'll get more controversial. Okay, what about a dishwasher? Can I use, before I ask about using a dishwasher for milk and meat, what happens if I find in my dishwasher a milk kli in my, I'm not even going to call it a meat dishwasher, a milk kli that I washed with my meat kalim? Do I have to kosher my milk kli? It went in with the whole of the meat kalim and everything. So if we look at what we learned last week and some of the things I just mentioned, we'll see there's not such a big deal. Okay, why? I'll give you an example. I'll explain it. That number one, there's soap, and in fact, the soap of the dishwashers is extremely potent. It's more than the regular soap. Soap's a dishwasher. So right away you knocked out the tastes. That's number one. Number two, we learned that it has to go from one kli to the other kli without something in between. It has to, so water has to drop on it and carry it with to the other kli. Usually what happens is water drops on and goes down. So there's no taste transference. You have to have a carrier. If it's not getting there, if it's just hitting the kli and then going down, so what did you do? Okay, maybe it dropped down on another one, but it's already not bar not. It cooled off. There's another thing. There's another important thing, and that's the stream that's in a dishwasher. It's coming from the top, if I'm not mistaken. And it spins around. That spinning action, as it's going around, the stream breaks up. That's called Irui Shenifsak Akiluach, a stream that's broken. A stream that's broken, Nifsak means broken. Akiluach, the Kiluach is the stream. So a stream that's broken already has less koach. There is less strength. There's less problems with it. There is a machmir opinion, but if you add all the makel opinions, all the kulas up, you won't have to kosher the spoon that you find with your fleishik dishes. You won't have to kosher your milk spoon because we have 60. That's another. We have so much water there. How much was your spoon compared to all the water? So you have 60 in your water. You have soap. You have the stream which has been broken. It might not even be a kli rishon. Who says it's even a kli rishon? You have so many heterim that you just put it away. It's clean. Put it in your milk extract. But the bigger question is, can I use my dishwasher to cook, to wash milk and meat dishes one after the other? Can I use my dishwasher to cook milk and meat dishes? Well, the answer is yes. Yes, you can, because of other reasons that we're going to go into in 1 minute. The Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, said just make sure he wants you to change the racks, because the racks collect stuff on them, the racks. Okay, you should also probably look at your filter at the bottom, the drain, get rid of all the stuff if you're going to use the dishwasher for milk and meat. Now, why? Why is that mutter? Most people don't do this, but you could. Okay, you could. And why? Why? Because even if in the worst case scenario, your dishwasher became fleishik. Somehow it became fleishik. Let's say it became fleishik. What? What's that? Why didn't it? Let's say actually, because, well, who says that your dishwasher even picked up the taste? Could be that it didn't pick up the taste. There's 60, there's soap, there's all kinds of things. It's spinning around. But let's say you're going to be machmir and you're going to say that the dishwasher picked up the taste. But that's already, when you use the next thing, coming out of the dishwasher into the water again, that's so many times removed from the original food, as we learned with our countertops and such like that, that it's too far removed from the original source. Okay, but let's...
Would it be not going out the sewer in this case?
If it went in and then it came out, yes, there would be, except for one thing. It's not a Kli Rishon. There's 60. There's soap, pagams or soap. There are all of these things you can argue with. If you want to make an argument against it, there are ways of making an argument. You could say the soap. Who says soap kills the taste? Maybe not Barnat the Isur is a perfect question, because maybe the two tastes are colliding. The two secondary tastes are colliding. You can find ways to be machmir if you wanted to be machmir. It would take a whole series of, if you want to be choshish for that, it would take a whole series of things to go right, so to speak, to make that happen. Okay, but that's a perfectly good question. That's a really genius question. It's a great question. Okay, so anyways, the Lamaisa, you can do this. Rav Moshe says that you should change the racks. I never understood why you should have to change the racks, because there's so much soap there. Lest he's worried that the soap doesn't kill the taste of the mamashos. Soap will kill the taste of the, you know, the mamashos means the solids. But soap will kill the taste of the taste of the tastes, you know, which is not a solid.
You have boiling water.
Boiling water does hagala. Boiling water can knock it out. But we have different ways of permitting it. We have different ways, and if you wanted to. Plastic. There's a whole world whether or not we didn't discuss it. There's a whole world about whether or not you can kosher plastic. People can kosher plastic. My general rule of thumb is, if it's not going to melt, you can kosher. Plastic that will melt, you can't kosher. So based on what we said, also I just heard like a question came to me last night while we were in the basement, Drish. Somebody in our neighborhood has moved into a house, and he said the sinks were trafe. So therefore, he never used for as long as he's been in the house, I don't know how many months or how many years, he never used hot water because he said the sinks are trafe. So I never wanted to get the water to the point of, he used warm water, but not hot water, because he said, I'm worried that the sink is going to absorb the taste into my kalim. So based on what we said, you don't have to worry, for a number of reasons, because it's taste is already gone. And to make it worse, you know, to make the question easier, he wasn't even worried about treif, like chazir or anything cooked in it. Chazir used to sink for it. He just didn't know which one was milfix and which one was fleishix, because the house was rented and now he's renting it. So I told him, forget about it. You just use it, designate one sink for milchix and one sink for fleishix. Doesn't matter what was there before. And the reason is very simple from what we said, that you're not going to end up in a case where the sink, it's already too late, it's gone. The sink is ben yoma. It means that it has a strong taste in it. So if the sink doesn't have a strong taste, means a fresh taste, it can never usher anything. And you're not going to cook in it, so we don't make a gezeira. If you trafe up a pot or a pan, after 24 hours, that pan goes back to being kosher. But we kosher it because we say somewhere along the line, if we're not strict with pots and pans or other dishes and things like that, you will make a mistake and use it when it's a fresh taste. But if you don't use, but a sink, we'll never make a mistake using with a rabbi, because you don't cook in sinks. So the gezeira, the rabbinical decree of eino ben yoma atu ben yoma, of not using a kli that's 24 hours old, because I might use the kli when it's within 24 hours, that gezeira doesn't apply by sinks, because I'll never use it. So we could be Mako by a sink and use, and even one sink. Yeah.
To whatever extent we're cautious that there's a problem with a sink. And maybe you'll say there's no problem, it's never hot enough. But if we're going to say, no, it potentially was hot enough, and therefore the sink potentially did absorb a bad taste, then we have to be cautious that person did that within 24 hours also.
Excellent question. Excellent question. You only have to be hoshesh when it's shchiach. This is not shchiach. It's very unlikely that these problems, based on what we said, are going to happen. But I love the question. I thought of that. That's a great question. Okay, so that's basically, that people put up a divider because they're worried about splashes. I don't really have a divider. I said, forget it. When I renovated the kitchen, how much times does stuff splash over? Anyways, it's cold. It's not even, there's not much going on. Yes?
If it did happen that your sink somehow pulled hot pasta or whatever, and then the milk popped open, you went on, could you look at the killer? Could you just leave it for 24 hours?
Yes. Yes.
No need to kasher it.
Because again,
no
gezeira. There's not a gezeira. The gezeira only applies to atu when, if it's going to happen. How many times? I don't think I've ever had in my life milk and meat within 24 hours of each other in the same sink, hot from a kli rishon. Means that I had to have poured it hot right off the stove. I do pour meat, the gravy from the chicken maybe into my flesh. But when do you ever pour milk, hot milk, into your sink? Even if you have one sink, your milking sink, how often do you ever pour milk into hot milk in your milking? And then you'd have to do that within 24 hours of the meat. Very unlikely. Then it would be trafe, and it would only be trafe for 24 hours. Okay, no, so that's another story. You mean, what you're asking if the sink is dirty?
It's dirty, and there's milk inside, and then chicken falls inside.
Okay, let's deal with that problem. I have a dirty sink, okay, and milk and meat are touching in my dirty sink. So the time that's going to be, when would that be, sir, is if you had pickling. Means that the meat would have had to have sat in the milk. But if it's just touching, milk particles, milk things touching, like my leftover milk, my leftover pizza, my leftover noodles, and a piece of chicken, that's not going to do anything. If there's liquid milk, if it's sitting in liquid, then that could be a problem. But don't forget, your sink has a drain, so it's hard. You'd have to have your sink plugged for that.
As long as you have stuff sitting in the sink.
Okay, yeah. It could happen. I mean, it could happen, but then
it's only after,
it's only after 24 hours. That would be that spot in the sink. You might have a problem there. And then 24 hours, it goes back to being good again. Correct. People in general, if they have one sink, they put something down on it, right? Yeah, but really that's only a minhag. It's not from a din. That's the minhag you should. And I think because they're worried about stuff floating back up, things popping back up, or dirty sinks, like you said. Yeah.
What about tray? If there was tray food. Hot tray food,
24 hours, it's kosher again.
What's the question?
If hot tray food, so if I went into a house, I moved now into a house that was owned by a non-Jew. Obviously, I mean, all the rabbanim are going to tell you, kosher it, because whatever you can kosher, you should kosher. Whatever you can do, you can do. Lamaisa, if you put it kosher, it's a porcelain sink. That porcelain sink can never ever trafe up anything. So if you couldn't kosher it, so don't worry about it. Yeah.
If you have meat and milk particles in the bottom of your sink and you pour boiling water, would that be an issue of bishul or baskerhala?
That could be, but probably not. The more I think about it, because the minute it hits the the sink, it turns into cliche-y. Only if you manage to pour your water directly into the hole there, then you might have something. You have a good shot. Okay? Yeah, you want it? Okay. All right, that's basically our dinim of dishwashers, sinks, and stovetops is the same din, by the way. We said before, yeah. First of all, that stuff is probably not tasty anyways. That's why I don't think you have to really worry too much about it.
The machine's different nowadays?
What?
Are dishwashers nowadays different?
Are dishwashers today?
Because nowadays they have dishwashers, you don't have to take off the food, you just put right in and the pizza all out.
Most people, from what I understand, if that's the type of dishwasher, you're gonna complicate it. It gets more complicated. But from what I understand, is that most people rinse off their dishes, not anymore. Okay, so if you have real serious pieces of meat or serious pieces of milk, yeah. So then you have a bigger problem. Then it becomes much more of a problem. If you come up to a shiloh, I wouldn't use a dishwasher like that for milk and meat. If I'm not scraping it off, then I would say for sure, just make it either milk or flations. Okay, that's what I would do. But
what about your stovetop?
Okay, now the stovetop. Again, stovetops. I challenge anybody to prove to me that anybody's stovetop is treif. There is no, probably in all of Ramat Beit Shemesh, there is no treif stovetop. Zero treif. So all the stovetops here are, why? Because to treif up your stovetop, to make it treif, you have to have milk and meat falling in the same spot within 24 hours. Then your stove, from a kli rishon, and a little spurt flying up, like a little drop flying up, that's already nifsak akiluach. So that would be, if it's a drop of oil, it's probably nothing anyways. You'd have to have a spill of meat and a spill of milk, and I don't know how much that happens. And then it's only treif for 24 hours.
What? They said the stovetop was treif, so what?
Yeah, so what? And even if the stovetop is treif, so what? Meaning that if I put my spoon down on there, it doesn't treif up my spoon because the blias don't go from the stovetop. The taste doesn't move from the stovetop to the spoon. So even if you find one, the only time you're going to run into a problem is if you want to eat something that fell onto the stovetop. You want to eat a piece of food. But if you know that stovetop is clean and you know, even you don't even know for sure, but you know that something, that no schmutz is there, no schmutz is there, you don't want schmutz there. But if it's clean and you know that no milk and meat spilled on it within 24 hours of each other, so pick it up, put it back into your french fry fell out, put it back into your pot and keep cooking. Or do what I do, I eat it. Okay? That's a good hora. Okay? So that's, yes. That's easier. That's a lot easier. So par stays par.
Right away,
got a problem.
The racks don't have to change.
Don't have to change. That's the easiest.
And you don't have to wait
24 hours. That's the easiest to monitor. Okay? That's very good. Just one more interesting din. because we're going to be moving off of Kalim and this kind of stuff. I want to just make one more point before we move on, and that's people always ask. I think we talked about it a little bit, but I want to say it again. You have your 40 cup thing of water, your mecham it's called in Hebrew. Okay, now a drop of milk hits it on the side. Does that make all my I can't use it for meat? Or a drop of my chulet splashed on my 40 cup urn? Can I now use that water for milk, for coffee with milk? Yes. Do I have to kosher it? No. Why? Because that's heter rabala, that's mutter. And every time I use it, since it's mutter, every time I use it, I'm going to always have 60 against that drop, that spritz. So I'll give you an example. You know, in the old days before they had these coffee pots, you know, that the electric ones. So I found on my pot, because I used to have it on the stove all the time, I found on my pot, my coffee pot, spots. I said, oh my gosh, there's a spot of milk, and there's a spot of meat, and a spot of milk, and a spot. That does not trape up your coffee pot. It's different in spots. The coffee pot was cold, and every time I use the coffee pot, it never became usser. And on top of that, every time I used it, it was always with way more than those drops. Of course, I cleaned it, but Lamaisa, it all the time. If you use that, you don't have to worry because it's. So people ask me like this. People have a question. They have a parv pot that some meat or milk spilled on my parv pot. Now is my parv pot milchix or meaty? That's what they want to know. It's a common question. The answer is that pot is still parv. You can use it for parv. And I'll explain why. First of all, you're always using it with a lot, so it doesn't matter anyways. So you can use it even right away. That's not called negating an isser. But more than that, we learned already that if I have a pot that was not used for 24 hours, my chulet pot, not used for 24 hours, I can make potatoes in it and eat those potatoes with butter. Okay? According to the Ramah, Ashkenazi Posek, you could do that lechatchila. Rav Eliashi brought down another posek and only should only use it in a bidyavid. I saw other poskim, and this is the way I think that's a good compromise to in a if you need it for a tzorech. So what's a tzorech? It's my biggest pot, and I need to make a lot. It's Arab Shah. I forgot. You know, I started putting it up. Well, now I changed my mind. Now you're not going to get the person. It's a tircha. You're not going to change the it's a tircha. You're not going to make the person change pots or throw away the food or whatever. So that's why if you have a pot that's parv and something fell in it, it stays parv. Because even in the worst case scenario, it's parv after 24 hours. You can't cook the opposite minute. And you can't say all of a sudden, I want this parv pot to be milchix if fleshix fell in it. That's changing the status. But it's a parv. You can cook parv in it, lechatchila, and eat it with the opposite minute. Just like you could take your 40 cup urn and use it for the coffee with the milk in it. All of those dinim are the same. Now we're going to go on. Any questions up until then? Now that's all washing up kalim. And yes.
That's only with a 61 ratio? The parv pot?
And then it stays parv?
Yeah.
That's a lechatchila. If it's a 60-1. It means that you have to have kli mishnah shim v'shapo. If you don't have 60-1, if you cooked in it, we can give it the din of parv. if you really need to do it, but in the 60-1 ratio, you can just consider it parv. You don't even have to worry about it. If you did not have shishim, then it would be like my chulent pot, and then it's only I would have to consider that a fleishik's pot if I did not have shishim. So that parv pot is fleishik's, but it's not going to matter too much. Because if I'm only cooking parv in it anyways, then a pot that's 24 hours old, I can use for parv. I can put milk in it. Anyways, so just put it aside for 24 hours, don't use it. But the nafkamina is that you cannot all of a sudden decide I want to make it a milchix pot. Yeah, we're talking about even on the side. Even on the side, that's a great question. Even on the side.
So based on what you're saying, any fleishik's pot, if someone wanted to make it parv one day, they could just wait 24 hours and make it parv?
Yeah. It's parv.
Even they used it for a year, the fleishik's pot?
It's parv. You parv. And that means that when I say parv, it means that you can use it now, you can make potatoes in it, and eat it with milk. Meforish Ramah. In fact, you don't have to make it parv. You could just do it without making it parv. Okay, we paskin that, or the modern day poskim will say in a tzorech. But really, the halacha, the Ramah says you can use it as parv.
The cover?
What?
The cover?
The same thing.
Yes, if it
falls on the cover of the pot.
Not quite.
That's a better question. It's not, maybe because it's not connected. We're gonna, everything in the pot, since it's steaming up in the pot, we'll say that the cover is also parv. That's another whole gambit, whether or not we combine the food to negate the drop in the pot. That's a whole nother run, which is a more deeper halacha. Lamaisa, but I'll tell you Lamaisa that all you need is 60 in your food against the drop on the top. You do need to worry about the drop. Don't think that I can get away with not worrying about the drop. You do need to worry about the drop. The question is, do I need to worry about the top now? Okay, we just had a little thing that was written up in the flyer that went out about from Keter Torah. It was in the base midrash. You can read about it. Exactly that question. It's there on the bima. Okay, yes. Any other questions? Okay, let's go now to something that is this week's point. We're going to talk about ovens and blenders and microwaves. And the first thing that we have to talk about is what is the problem of, or what is one oven? Okay, what is the problems in an oven? The main problem of an oven is steam, zeya, not reyach. Reyach is not the main problem. It's a secondary, lower grade problem. Reyach is odors, zeya is steam. The main problem of an oven is steam. What do I mean? Like this. Obviously, if something is cooking and it's steaming, that embeds a taste into the oven because it's steam. Now, what emits steam? Liquids emit steam. Melted fat is a machlokas. Melted fat, we don't know for sure if melted fat emits steam or not. And solids barely emit anything. Solids, we don't worry about steam. There's no zeya unless you see it. There's no zeya, there's no steam by a solid. Solids do not emit steam. Okay? Now, how does that help us? That helps us immensely. Knowing just those factors right there helps us immensely with our oven. Why? Because steam, to put a taste in my oven, I have to have steam that goes in. Okay, we'll talk about reach odors in the next run. Okay, so steam goes in. To get a taste out of my oven, if I just put something in my oven, let's say a piece of bread in my oven, that's not the steam from the oven. The taste of the oven is not going to go into the bread. You have to pull it out. You need steam and steam. Steam puts in. It's not magic. You have to get something. You have to get something to pull it out. You have to get steam to pull it out. Okay? Which means, very interesting, which means that if I bake my bread in a Fleishik's oven, my challahs for Shabbos, in a Fleishik's oven, the challahs are parv. I can eat those challahs with milk. Okay, why? Because even though, and this is right after I open the door and take out the chicken or the meat or whatever. Because the steam, sure, it's a Fleishik's oven, because the steam went into the oven and made it Fleishik's. But how did it get out of the oven into my bread? You got to have steam to make a connection. It just doesn't come out of the walls. I heat up an oven and all of a sudden all the taste comes rushing out of the walls. You have to have a way to pull it out. Yeah. Again, what?
You just cook chicken. Now you put
what did I? Oh, for example, what? If I put liquid in, then liquid will take out the steam. Yeah, because liquid makes steam. There's a very interesting phenomenon. And there's a whole world. It has to be steam and steam. We didn't get to Reach yet. It has to be steam and steam. Steam has to, you have to have steam to put in, and you have to have steam to take out. Now, there is a very interesting phenomenon. Not even liquids. It's hard to find steam in liquids. But they paskin. We worry about steam by liquids. But I really don't see so much steam by liquids. By liquids. If I put a bowl of water in my oven, like I tried it the other day. I put a tin. I wanted to see if I could get a different type of crust on my challahs. So I put a tin of water, you know, those aluminum pans, and it didn't make steam. It was up to 200 Fahrenheit, 200 Celsius. It didn't make steam. There was no steam. Steam is like steam. When they talk about steam, they're talking about real steam. Not when I open up the oven, the air rushes out and condenses and it looks like steam. That's fake steam. It has to have some real steam. Steam in the oven.
But there's in the air.
It's the hot in the air, cold air mixing. That makes a steam. Or the hot with the cold air. So it's condensing the water in the air. Or it's steaming up the water in the air, right?
It's in boiling pot of water.
That's because it's closed. That's closed. That's closed. It's closed. And it's also a fire underneath. I try it. You know, I've done it in a microwave. I put a cup there in a microwave that I want to make a cup of coffee. And I try to kosher my microwave. Let's kosher my microwave. And some reason, even with putting the water, there's no steam. I don't know what's going on. There's no steam. You don't see steam. But if I put a potato, I'll see steam.
You
have to leave it in a long time.
Even with the chicken,
eventually you'll get some kind of steam. But let's play it that there's steam. Okay? Let's be machmirim, and we're going to say there's steam. Okay? Just to make it life easier. If you have a Shiloh, you could start running in it in your head, was there steam or not. This is something you have to look for in your homes, whether or not there's steam. But let's assume there's steam, because that's the easiest and most understandable thing. If you have a liquid, as you said, usually there's going to be steam, but I don't know. It's a gambit. It runs from here to here. Some people will swear there's no steam, and you get people that will say that there's for sure steam. Go prove it. Okay? So the idea is that you gotta put in and you have to take out. Okay? So we sat, yes, Moshe. Okay. Pull in and put it in and take it out. What are we really worried about in our ovens? Okay? With the steam from one and the steam from the other? Spilling over is good. Okay? Spilling over, one thing spilled over, then
maybe
it makes.
Could spill over the chicken?
Could spill out. I pulled out something the other day and it just spilled all over the place. Steam gets, if you're cooking right, steam goes into your food. Okay? We're mostly worried about when you're switching from one thing to another, believe it or not, it's the condensation. The condensation, because we're worried that the steam will go up, condense, and then fall back down. Okay? So if you cover your food, then if it falls back down, it's too little to do anything. That's why you should cover your food. This idea of I saw one opinion that says just steaming up will even absorb from the walls and all around. That's a very machmir opinion. You can worry about that too. But the traditional worry seems to be just the drops coming down, the condensation. Okay. There's also when we talk about microwaves. So let's talk about if we talk about microwaves. Yeah.
Let's just say you cook chicken Tuesday afternoon.
Right.
Thursday, you haven't used it for more than 24 hours. Thursday you want to make
A pizza. Okay, watch. That's a very good question.
Been over 24 hours.
Okay. I have my oven. That for sure was got. I used it for chicken. I used it, and steam went all in it. Now I'm gonna heat up a pizza in my oven. Can I do that?
After 24 hours?
Before 24 hours. Can I do that? Yes, you could do that, because where's the steam? A pizza. This pizza's dry. Even if it has a little bit of moisture there on the surface, but that's not going to be enough to make steam.
And sauce?
The sauce is not. That's not a. That's not a. If it's some dairy dish that, if you're going to cook some liquid dairy dish, then you got a problem. Even if it's been 24 hours, because that's like using the same pot for milk and for meat. If it's been 24 hours. Yes. Covering, if you cover it, anything you do that you cover is okay. Yes.
So going back to the chal case you brought up.
Yeah.
Can you do the chatfila to put the chal in the flesh?
100%. 100%. Most people don't understand that din. That comes up a lot. And lechatfila, take your meat out. Take your chicken out. Lechat kila mehadrin mina mehadrin. You can bake your challah in that oven, and the challah is parv.
You don't have to wait for it to cool down at all.
You don't have to wait for it to cool down. The minute you open the door, all any steam, anything goes out anyways. No condensation, no nothing. Usually the one of the things that they say is that it dries up, it burns up. You have a lot of heterim. Anyways, it's Zah Acher Zah. So you're not, anything that was there before is gone. Now we need the new steam to bring it out.
Oven trays?
That's a great point. Forgot to mention that. You should use parv trays. You can't use the fleishik trays. And if you put something on a fleishik tray, so you don't worry, because as we learned, that two kalim touching, taste is not transferred. You can't do milk and meat in the same oven. Lechat kila. Yes, you can.
So trays.
Trays, you should change the trays.
Put silver on the bottom.
No. If you, What does it mean you should change your trays? Don't bake on the same tray.
It's like the top of the oven.
Isn't that the soft top? Yeah, no, but no, I mean, don't bake the actual food on the tray.
Why isn't it the soft top?
Because you're baking the food on the, you have to put it in one of those aluminum pans, or put it.
Put it on the aluminum pan, not on the tray.
Okay. Yeah, on the aluminum pan on the tray is fine.
That's
okay, lechatchila.
You use the same tray for milk and meat?
Yeah.
As long as it's in aluminum pan?
As long as you put them in aluminum pan.
I have to worry about drops.
Spilling, okay, so if there's spilling, now, No. If you're right, if you because of the spills, I would be careful about the same tray. I take it back. I would use different trays for milk and different trays for meat.
Silver foil
be okay. Silver foil, then you don't have to worry about the tray.
Silver foil, what, to cover the tray?
Just put it underneath the thing so that if it spills, it's not going to spill onto the tray.
Right.
Okay, that's, yeah.
What about preheating for a half hour in addition to 24 hours? Would that solve the tray issue? The rack issue?
That's Liban Kal. No, it's Liban Kal while it's a Ben Yoma.
After
24 hours? Okay, so it goes like this. Yeah, that would solve the problem. 2 weeks from now, we're going to learn about Hilchos Pesach. So I just want to preempt it. That solves the problem, except for in cases of Pesach, because Pesach we're worried about a mashi. But for our purposes, that would make it good for. But again. Don't use the same. That's only going to solve it if you're using one of your aluminum tin, your aluminum pots, whatever they're called, the throwaway things, on a tray. Then you'd be okay. You preheat it because you koshered it essentially. And you're not eating off of it. Yeah.
That's a conclusion of what we said. Let's say you have one oven.
Yes.
And it's a meaty oven. You use meat in it. You're not allowed to go. Let's say after 24 hours, and I use it for meat, open and steam, and now I want to cook some milk in that oven.
You should not use open. If you're worried about steam, even then you can't do it. If you're worried about steam with the milk, if you're not worried about steam, you can use milk even within 24 hours. If the second thing that comes in. I made a grilled cheese in my oven somehow. There's no steam from a grilled cheese. Then, right? No steam. I don't even think there's steam from a pizza. There's nothing. So you can put that in your oven, lechatchila, for that. Now, we'll deal with reyach. Rabbi Akiva Eger, there's one opinion, and people, if you choose to worry about that, this opinion, that's fine. There's what to rely on. What I'm really trying to do is, if there's no opinion to be machmir, then why are you machmir? Okay, so I'll tell you opinion to be machmir is that there, Rabbi Akiva Eger, the light of his generation, light of the world, he said that reach also goes in. Not just steam goes in, but odors can go into a kli. Odors cannot take out from a kli, but they can go into a kli. So if odors go into a kli the next time, so if I make a pizza in my oven, so my oven picked up an odor of cheese. An odor of cheese. Now when I use my meat and it steams, the steam will take out the odor of the cheese. So he says that's no good. The Ramah, he argues with the Ramah. Okay, that's the difference. Odor can go in without steam, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger. According to the Shach, no. According to the Ramah, no. According to Rabbi Akiva Eger, yes. Okay, odors go in.
The 24 hours still solve that problem?
24 hours knocks everything out. But it doesn't mean that you could do this lechatchila. That's the difference. Now, microwaves is very interesting. You get all these people that come up with the microwaves, and it's I have a microwave at work, and I don't know what people are putting in. As far as I'm concerned, they're putting in McDonald's hamburgers. And it's trafe, and not only that, but they put it in with the cheese, and they put it in with, you know, come on. And three guys today went in and put in the, you know, can I use that microwave? Yeah, you can use the microwave. Just cover your stuff. I mean, that's what you should do. Cover yourself. What? But you don't have to cover it. According to what we said, you do not have to hermetically seal it. Okay? You cover it with something because we're worried about the drops going in. We're worried about the condensation coming down. Now, microwaves have a lot more coolas. They're more machmir in one sense than an oven, because a microwave, a potato in an oven does not make steam. A potato in the oven, as we said before, makes loads of, a microwave makes loads of steam. Okay? Now, again, we're going, a microwave is a mini oven, and we're worried about condensation. Worry about the stuff that falls down. But it has a very unique heter that an oven doesn't have, because the microwave oven, the walls don't get hot. You have to have food in there a long time for it to get hot. Most people are just heating up their food. 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Who puts in something except you, like we said, a potato? Or I don't know anybody who cooks their chicken lechatchila in a microwave from the beginning to the end. That could be a problem, because then the walls are going to get hot. But average person who puts in on a paper plate a hot dog in my microwave oven that's milchiks, that hot dog, fleishiks hot dog, is kosher, because it did not pick up any taste from the microwave. How did it get the taste from the microwave? Everything, even if the microwave, I'm not saying that the microwave is perfectly clean. It's a little bit dirty. It's got it, there's no steam coming off. There's not even probably reyach coming off of that stuff. The walls didn't get hot enough. Nothing got hot enough to give off a smoke from an odor from the sides of the walls. Your hot dog, your schnitzel, you did it. No one's telling you to do this lechatchila. And if you do these things, cover it. Cover your hot dog. It's amazing. Cover your hot dog, not completely in a sealed tank container. Just put a dish oil over it, and you can use that for.
Is it paper bag okay?
Paper bag is fine. Paper bag. You make popcorn in your Fleishik's microwave.
Paper bag.
Yes. Metal disc? No, as long as you're not cooking it. Some microwaves you're able to actually cook, I think. What?
They have a convection on
it. Yeah, convection on the top. No, not going to make a difference. The metal's not going to make a difference. It doesn't get any more hot. You burnt it? You burnt it? If it gets that hot, no, then don't worry about it. After 24 hours, forget about it. Nothing's going to happen. You'll ask me later on what exactly the case, but I'm 99.99% sure we'll figure it out. Yeah.
You're also saying that even though there's a lot of steam created from the hot dog.
Is there? You're telling me there is.
From a potato.
From a potato, but I'm leaving the potato in for how long? 7-10 minutes. A hot dog, I'm just heating up. A schnitzel, I'm just heating up. Not really cooking the hot dog so long. If there would be a lot of steam, then even then you'd have to look up and see if something fell down. You'd only worry about condensation.
You put things in, and if you seal it tight, then the plastic pops.
Look how close it is, right? Because you're it's close. But when you spread it out, think about it like this. It's got to heat up the walls. You got to have that hot dog in there so long that the walls actually get Yad Soledipo. Just the hot dog hitting the wall, hitting the walls of the oven, is not going to pull out anything just because the water is hot. It'll put in, but for that bleus in the wall, for the taste in the on the top of the wall to come out, you got to have the wall hot. You got to have that hot dog in there until it shrivels up to the size of a pickle. then you got a problem. What's that?
They explode, actually.
They explode. The hot dog will explode.
Even to have the cover where you have like a little air.
Oh, that's fine.
That's fine.
That's fine.
And like when the popcorn pops, you have like little.
That's fine because nothing's coming in. How you for the again? It's got to hit there. By the way, I want to go back to the oven thing. The oven thing. That's fine. I forgot to mention one thing. Why do people cover? They say if you want to use a trafe oven, cover everything twice.
Some people even say triple.
You know, let's make a new chumrah four times. Where? When do we stop? When? How? Why? Two times. Why? What's two times? Why two times?
And why sometimes more?
And why times? Yeah, now they're going to hear about it in four. We're going to. Okay, new base tefillah chumrah four times. Okay, why? Why two times? There's no such thing as two times.
And those airplane meals are about like.
No, because that's really different. The airplane meals, because you need the two for the simmon. That they say, you know, two times for a.
No one touched it.
That no one touched it, right. Really, you only need the. I have in my pot. If I put a pot, they don't tell. If I put a pot in, think about it. And we say you can cook in a trafe oven if I put a pot in and just make sure the top's on. That's a one-time covering. How come they don't say wrap up your pot in aluminum foil? So you have two times around your food. That works. How come a pot works? One-time covering. Everybody's heard of the two-time covering hat there, right? So the answer is because I think they're afraid that the aluminum foil is going to rip. No, that's all it is. Because maybe it'll rip and then it'll touch something and then you'll have leakage and you'll have transfers of taste. And who knows? But yeah.
I think it makes sense. We have a small container, a loose cover on top, right?
Yes.
I put it on for 2 minutes. So there will be some sort of like steam. If I put a bag around it, then it won't, you know, make sense to put two, I think. Two, 3, 4, isn't the two. I keep the food itself, we're not getting the comfort of the salt.
So but then that's not fully covered. When they say cover it, so you're saying cover it twice because...
The first time is not so covered.
It's not so covered, so that's it's okay. But it's not because we need two covers. It's because just in case you didn't cover it good the first time.
You can't cover it completely. You can't cover it
completely. Okay. Right. So, but my point is we have to come up with a reason why. It's not because we're worried that, okay, I have to cover it, otherwise the taste is going to go through the air into my food. It's because it's not covered well, or as I say, it's going to rip. Not what normally is in the street where we say, oh, it's going to be if it's not covered twice, then the taste is going to go through and it's going to make a problem. That we're not worried about.
A roasting pot, top and bottom is solid.
It's solid. You don't have to. You're not worried about about. That's completely sealed. So it's either one of our reasons. We could probably maybe think of another reason, but one of those two reasons is fine. That's why people would cover it twice. Okay? We have a few more minutes. I think it's almost 9:30. Yeah.
Going back to the hot dog in the microwave case, that was a person did by accident uncovered. Yeah. So you said even if the hot dog is going to send some steam off, that will just affect the walls and will never bring anything back.
Correct.
But at that point, your microwave could have an issue for the next 24 hours of having busted bakhala together in the walls, and then even the potato in would be a problem in terms of bringing out the trash.
If you would cook something else that's steamed up, then you'd have to be careful. Because then you have Vash V'chalev maybe on your, but it, and again, they would have to make sure potatoes would be particularly a problem because they would heat up the walls. They're probably going to heat up the walls. A parv schnitzel, nobody heats up. I don't see people heating up a parv schnitzel for more than 3 to 5 minutes, something like that. And the walls are cold. You could touch the walls. They're cold. Only if the walls are hot. There's a lot of heterim by the microwaves.
If a person made something that hot, you know, the walls are really hot, you open it up, you probably couldn't put your hand in and take something out.
It's possible, right? right?
No,
again, we're really, and then it's got to be hot, and it's got to be steam, and it's got to drop on the food. We're choshish that food, that stuff dropped on the food. That's why you want to put something on it. Yeah.
Basically, say you found one of these microwave covering, you found the food on your plate.
Yeah, that we talked.
They're vented.
They're vented.
Still,
that's okay.
Still an issue, but it's not gonna drop back.
Yeah, but it's not gonna. No, it's not gonna go around in and in.
Right.
It's gonna drop on the top. If you notice, the vents are on the side. Okay. Can we go a little bit more? We're gonna talk about blenders, or should we wait for? Okay. We'll next week. We'll talk about blenders and cutting on cutting boards. You know, you use the wrong, you cut an onion on the cutting board, what's the din, Milchix onion and Fleischix onion and all that on the opposite cutting boards. Blenders, and next week it's going to be very, very exciting because we're going to be talking about buying chickens. All these chumras, did you cut open the chicken, what's the somas agidim, all of these things which are super important to know and mean basically, I don't want to say nothing, but you got to know about it. You got to know what all these dinim are, okay? And then you can figure out what you want to hold, okay? Very good.